Melissa, it is so cold outside.
It is cold, and it's not going to get warm anytime soon. So, you know what we need to do? We need to keep ourselves warm with heat holders.
Okay. Well, I do love heat holders. I will say this has been the first year in a lot of years that my toes have not been numb from October to March.
Yeah. And you know what I love about them is that heat holders has all different kinds of socks. So you can, you know, basically use them in like a thermostat. You can turn them up. You can turn them down. You can get thinner ones. I mean, you can pick the right socks.
Yes. And the best thing about heat holders, especially the originals, which is probably my favorite, is they are 7 times warmer than regular cotton socks. And they feel like cashmere, y'all.
They're soft,
luxurious.
And then they have the lights, which have a thinner profile for like casual situations, like sports shoes. And those are 4 times warmer than regular cotton socks.
I mean, altogether, you can find the sock for you at heat holders. I'm so grateful
for them.
They even
have the ultralights.
Yes.
So if you just want everyday socks, 3 times warmer than cotton socks, you got ultralights. So you got originals, lights, and ultralights. You do?
I do.
Because you're just walking around.
My feet are not cold. The rest of me is very cold.
Well, you know what? Then you're in luck. If you go to heatholders.com, you can find all kinds of winter wear, like hats and gloves and all the goodies.
So you can get your heat holders so you will be warmer this year too. No numb toes for you. Go to heatholders.com and enter the code MJH and save 15% off.
MJH, that's me, Melissa Joan Hart. you can go to heatholders.com and on your order, you'll receive free shipping with any purchase of $25 or more. So don't freeze your butt or feet off this winter, guys. Remember, go to heatholders.com. Use the code MJH. That's heatholders.com. Heat holders, making life warmer. Hey guys, welcome to another week of What Women Binge, and we've got one of my favorite women here. We've got Soleil Moonfry.
Yay!
Finally!
I love that this is how I get to catch up with you, because I miss you so much all the time. So,
oh, come on. We did a 45-minute phone call the other night. You can't even.
Exactly.
We did
it
quite a catch-up.
It was so much fun. It was very old. It was very teenage of us.
We were on the phone like all night. Like, no, you hang up. No, you hang up.
That's so cute. How
we almost have to meet each other on the phone. It was great. It was perfect.
Amanda just asked how long we've been friends. So we think we met at the Punky Brewster audition.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
We were like 6 or 7.
Yeah, we were little. And I don't know if Soleil remembers it as much as I do, because of course she got the part. So I remember watching that show and being like, that's my friend. Like I met her. I know her. That's my friend. You know,
and so we had so much fun, and like I feel like we were walking around with balloons or something. I just have always loved Melissa. Is such an incredible, just beautiful, amazing, authentic, just super hero. I love her so much, and she's always
100% agree
true to who she is, and that is just always awe-inspiring.
You're so
to
sweet.
Me.
Wait, we have to tell the story about like what I think happened at that audition and what you think happened. Well, so I flew out to LA for a screen test. So it was like between like me, Soleil, and maybe one or two other people, right? Like for the part. I think there was just a small group of us, and we were all going in to test for the network. And we're all waiting in the waiting room. Like, you have to wait like all day for these, and they're super nerve-wracking and whatever, but we're kids, you know. But whenever you tell the story about the elevator.
Oh, well, I got into the elevator and someone said that they had already gotten the part. And so my mom took me to leave, and I was like, I'm still going to go in there. But there was a moment where my mom was like, okay, honey, let's go, you know? And that was what I remember from like the last network test or something, or one of the last network tests. And I was like, I'm going for it.
Wait, that was before the audition? I thought it was after. I thought it was leaving.
Before the audition.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
and then I found out years later that, like, somebody was, like, calling. There was a lot of wildness for such
amazing
kids.
That whole experience of trying to screen test for something is absolutely insane. You have to sign a contract before you even audition just to say, this is what your deal is going to be for the run of the show. Like, you have to know what you're going to get paid, what your deal is going to be, what kind of trailer you're going to, like, all those things are already negotiated before you audition for the last audition. Yeah. So it's like, you already have to have gone through all the negotiation. Like, it's insane. And of course we're kids, but what's funny is when she told me that story, I think we were on like the news or something, and someone asked us that question. You said that you told that story, and I went, that might have been me, only because when we used to leave an audition, my mom used to say, did you get it or not? And I would have to guesstimate, did I get it or not? And so I mean, it's very likely that she would have been like, so, and I would have been like, I think I got it, you know, like, so
you never told me that. You never told me that. Look at the things that you discover on this podcast. I never told me that story.
But I don't think I would do that in front of another person.
Was it cute? Would have done little girl.
I don't know, when you were seven, you might have.
I know. You know, I might not have been aware of my surroundings. I might have just been like flustered from the whole experience and been like, I think I got it.
But here's the thing, right? Perception. It's like I'm always constantly at awe, especially with the experience of doing Kid 90 and going through all the videotapes and going like, wow, it's so interesting. So often we have these blind, you know, these blinders on and see things through one perspective, right? So this adorable little girl could have been like, yeah, mom, I think I got it. You know, totally not even been aware. And in my little mind, like,
that's,
I'm like,
what else is there?
Okay, I'm still going to go in. And then in my mom's mind, it could have been like, okay, let's go, you know? So it's
right.
And you know, it's just so interesting.
It's like sliding like doors, right? Yes, isn't it like exactly. Sliding doors?
Yes.
And the weird thing is, like, I have very bad intuition about things. So when I would be like, I don't think I got it, that's when I would get a job. So if I did say it, it would make sense that I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I always have the wrong, and it's always when you're like, ah, like, I wonder if you, Soleil, going in there being like, well, someone else already got it, I might as well just throw it into the, you know, like, right. Let me just do what I want to do.
I actually think you have an incredible intuition because you are so in tune with kind people, with what is authentic to yourself. So I would say you have amazing intuition. And I'm sticking to it.
I feel like I have to peel back layers though, in a way, but
you're always, your PS number is amazing. Like if you are like, you know, like Melissa should be the one that you take friends, potential husbands, wives in front of my court.
Be like, I don't know. I don't know how that's worked out for us, Soleil.
Or, yeah,
well, and Soleil is responsible. Like, Amanda, I don't know if you know, but like, Soleil is responsible for a few things in my life. She's responsible for the first house I had as a married woman. She's responsible for the place I got married at. So
I knew you guys went deep. The roots are deep.
Oh, when she's like, you have to see this place in Italy, and then I go get married there. Oh, you have to buy this house, and then I buy that house. Like, you know, she's talking about intuition. She's like,
hey.
Yeah, no, but like, you know, like, you know, like where some, you like feel like the, it's almost like, what is it? Like feng shui or something. Like, you know, when someone needs to be here.
I don't think that's what feng shui means.
I figure when I really love something, you'll love it too.
That's true. That is true. And that's what friends do, right?
It's so interesting you say that because there are so many times in just normal everyday conversations, she'd be like, oh my gosh, Soleil would love this. And or she'll be like, this is just like in Soleil's house. Or
yeah,
it is really interesting. Y'all
that's
are connected.
True. Soleil always has, as you can see,
Melissa loves, like, me, the Bali chic. Oh, she's like, white walls, white floors, the Buddhas.
It's fascinating to me. She has four kids. How do you have white everything? Like, look at your room right now. Oh. White everything. You're the opposite of Amanda. Amanda is like pink and green and purple and like sparkle. And Soleil is like, I only wear black and I only have my house white. It's like monochromatic and then like color explosion, the two
of
you.
But when your brain, like, I think of it as some of the most creative people I know, their brains are so colorful and so active that when they're in a space, they need it to be just monotone.
I would say that's you, Soleil. Do you think?
A lot of colorful children. So
that does it for one. I could, like, I definitely could not have a white sofa with all the millions of children and animals in my house.
You guys see what's happening right now? This is like a sliver of it. If you saw the rest of it.
No, but like, her drapes are white. Her floors are white.
I don't even think we have covers. Like, it's not even, it's
hysterical. But you explained it to me so well. So like, you go, I just bleach everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's brilliant.
That is.
You just bleach everything. Like, that just makes sense. That's what hotels do. That's what, you know. Yeah, all these weird people come. I mean, the only reason that this bed is gray is because I bought myself a weighted blanket so I could sleep at night.
Oh, nice.
Walmart, a Walmart special, 12-pound weighted blanket.
Hey, you do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Hotel living right now in West Virginia, so, you know. Yeah, no, I'm still in West Virginia, like living the dream on a true crime movie. We're now calling it The Bad Guardian. So that's official. So the movie I'm on is called The Bad Guardian.
Are you the guardian?
No, I'm the one trying to save my father from the guardian. So he falls in an accident, ends up in a hospital. They take him guardian, like a guardian moves in and like takes control of him and his life. Mm. So it's like,
wow. Chaos.
It's actually very intriguing. Yeah, it's a very intriguing story. Wait, but Soleil, we got to go back. Okay, so yeah. We met when we were little girls, right? So I'm Punky Brewster. Then you go and do Punky Brewster. Amazing show. Everyone's freaking obsessed with it, right? It like changes culture, especially for little girls. And I want to talk about that. But like our kind of story goes then, I saw you at like a youth and film award. We did like a kids award show thing together. And you were like the cool girl. You knew everybody, like everyone's stirring around you. And I'm like, I don't know. I kind of like hung out with you. What was the kid's name from Terminator that you were so close with?
Eddie Furlong.
Yes. Eddie Furlong. We're like hanging out with him and like all these, and she's got all the boys around her. And I'm like, I want to be in her Soleil. She's like boy crazy like me. And then we.
I mean, some things never change, Melissa. You know,
some things never change, Soleil. I know, I love it.
Let's be honest. I can say that now.
You can. I can't. My husband's just over there. So
mine's on the other side of the screen.
You can live vicariously. You can live vicariously through me.
Yeah. No hotel living with my husband. So yeah, he's right there. But yeah, I am still boy crazy, but Soleil gets to be boy crazy now. So I'm doing Sabrina. You were married and living like this fabulous life in the hills. And how do we become friends? Because of the 70s show cast? How do we like connect again?
We connected. We bumped into each other somewhere and we were
Ashton's house.
In the moment.
Probably. I think we were at Ashton Kutcher. Didn't Ashton have like a Thursday night pool party or like pool table? Like
who knows? There was lots of pool parties. There was lots of fun. And we met.
That's true. It was a social. We were social crazy.
We instantly, like, were inseparable. You know, and we were. It's so wild because, you know, I feel like we lived so much life so young. You know, when I got married, I had just turned 22. So, you know, like those years where we were all, you know, having so much fun together and playing and just having a great time. And also like, it was wild because I feel like in a way, like I also like, it was like this juxtaposition because there was like the grown up me, like, you know what I mean? It was just wild. And then there was like Melissa and I having the best time of our lives.
So we were about 23 because we're like exactly the same age. We were 23 when we kind of started hanging out again. And do you know that 23 is the year I say I like was a really bad girl? Like, maybe I can blame it all on you.
Well, this is the thing is that I had to live vicariously. This is the thing. I had to live vicariously through you at that time.
Oh, that's because I was single. She's married, but your husband became like my protector. Like you guys were like my team. Like he like would watch the two of us on like red carpets and at parties. And he'd kind of like pull us both. I feel like he'd like kind of almost like grab us by the shirt and be like, get back here. We're not doing that. You know, we're not going over there. We're not dancing that. We're not having another drink.
He was very protective and sweet.
He was our bouncer. It was awesome.
That was so funny.
But yeah, so we had a lot of fun. And then I was like, she's got to be on Sabrina. And we were casting for the college years. So Sabrina's going to move out of the house and have a whole new set of roommates. And so she came on. You came on as Roxy.
And it was three seasons, right? Come through. Three, four? Yeah, how many? So it was so much fun. So much fun.
Was it three, four? I can't remember.
Something like that. Working with your best friend and being able to have so much fun. And I just remember that time being so inspiring and fun and wonderful and full of like self-exploration. And we would ride scooters around the lot and over to Larchmont.
Oh, lunch every day, party every night. Try to remember our lines the next day. Wait, but I remember
it's fine. We can memorize them in the morning.
So I remember like, what's funny is there were times when you would get the giggles so bad. And like, sometimes I'd go along with it, but a lot of time I'd just be like, I want to get done with work. So I remember one time, I don't know if I ever told you this. I like pretended to lose my crap on set. I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I like walked off set. And one of the like PAs came after me and was like, are you okay? Like, can we get you back on set? And I was like, yeah. I'm just giving Soleil a moment to calm down. I want her to think I'm mad. Cause I was like trying to get you to stop laughing. I don't know if I ever told you that. You were laughing so hard in this one scene. And I was like, she will not stop. So I was like, that's it. I can't do this. And I like stormed off and like went to my trailer and they're like,
the things like, no, I can know.
That's the things hilarious. I want to tell you today, right? There you but go. Yeah, so I don't know if you knew that, but I was like, literally this poor PA or second AD or whatever came knocked on the door was like, Melissa? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. I promise I'm going to come back in and just like give Soleil like 1 minute to calm down.
Well, it was a very giggly set. It was just so much fun is the thing. And it was so much fun. And it was so fun to be a WB girl. Like that was so fun, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like campaigns where you did like the hair toss and stuff. Like,
yeah. Oh. Black and white sexy photos. And yeah. Cause it was like Dawson's Creek. And like, I want to say like all this sexy, like WB was like the place to be as a Y. It was like a YA channel at the time before they called it that. Right.
Totally. It was it was a really fun time with really, really amazing, fun people. And I think, also, there was a sense of innocence to it, you know, because as much as we were having fun and being wild, and I mean, our being wild was really, I mean, literally, it was quite innocent in a lot of ways. Really, and I think so much happened in the following years of this roller coaster of emotions and what friends and loved ones, you know, went through after that. So I really remember that time as like this pinnacle of joy and innocence, you know what I mean?
Before we had kids, but we were like,
yeah, like, and before like the layers of the onion peeled back into like a different level of adulthood.
Well, I can tell you that I'm looking at 2024 with 2020
vision.
I can see it ahead of me.
Let me guess why you have 2020.
One guess.
Is it because of pair eyewear?
You're so Am I right?
Smart. You're so smart.
Because look, I'm wearing my pair eyewear right now.
Yes, you are. It brings everything into focus, right? And pair eyewear base frames start at just $60, including your prescription.
Isn't that so cool? And then $25 and you get these face plates that you just pop right on.
You can
change
get
your look.
Affordable progressive lenses, and you can save by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars.
It's so cool. They
Plus,
are so
you
great.
You can get 15% off by using our code BINGE, B-I-N-G-E, at PairEyewear.com.
So go get your glasses, your husband's glasses, your kid's glasses, your progressive lenses.
And can we talk about how cute they are? Like, so you get the base frame, and then you pop on the top frames, and the top frames just have all different kinds of designs, collections, collabs, anything you might want.
And they have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. So if you don't like it, which I guarantee you, you're going to like it. But if you don't for some reason,
you're going to love it.
You can send it back.
And it includes wide frames to fit every face and find your fit right from home with a virtual try-on, which you
That's
can do.
That's how I did
it. Makes you look cute.
Yeah.
I made sure. You find the ones that you like the best.
We both dig the cat eye look.
Yes, personally. We did. So visualize a fantastic new year with Pair Eyewear.
That's right. Go to PairEyewear.com and use the code BINGE, B-I-N-G-E, for 15% off your first pair. And support our show by mentioning What Women Binge sent you in the post-checkout survey.
Yes, please mention us. That's Pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com, code BINGE.
Melissa, it is so cold outside.
It is cold, and it's not going to get warm anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So you know what we need to do? We need to keep ourselves warm with heat holders.
Okay. Well, I do love heat holders. I will say this has been the first year in a lot of years that my toes have not been numb from October to March.
Yeah. And you know what I love about them is that heat holders has all different kinds of socks. So you can, you know, basically use them in like a thermostat. You can turn them up. You can turn them down. You can get thinner ones. I mean, you can pick the right socks.
Yes. And the best thing about heat holders, especially the originals, which is probably my favorite, is they are 7 times warmer than regular cotton socks. And they feel like cashmere, y'all.
They're soft,
so luxurious.
And then they have the lights, which have a thinner profile for like casual situations, like sports shoes. And those are 4 times warmer than regular cotton socks.
I mean, altogether, you can find the sock for you at heat holders. I'm so grateful for them.
They even have the ultralights.
Yes.
So if you just want everyday socks, 3 times warmer than cotton socks, you got ultralights. So you got originals, lights, and ultralights.
You do?
I do. Because you're just walking around.
My feet are not cold. The rest of me is very cold.
Well, you know what? Then you're in luck. If you go to heatholders.com, you can find all kinds of winter wear, like hats and gloves and all the goodies.
So you can get your heat holders so you will be warmer this year too. No numb toes for you. Go to heatholders.com and enter the code MJH and save 15% off.
MJH, that's me, Melissa Joan Hart. you can go to heatholders.com and on your order, you'll receive free shipping with any purchase of $25 or more. So don't freeze your butt or feet off this winter, guys. Remember, go to heatholders.com. Use the code MJH. That's heatholders.com. Heat Holders, making life warmer.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
It was really innocent. It's true. We were going out to, like, I owned a bar on Sunset Boulevard, and we would spend most of our nights there, really. Or like
club. Or we would go to New York.
We owned a bar on Sunset for like 20
one
years.
One of the best experiences was when what? We lived. Sorry, I missed. What'd you say?
I was a part owner in the Trocadero Sunset Lounge, which was like an ancient, like historic bar in Hollywood. No, I went there recently and I was like, do I still own this? And they're like, no, you don't. And I was like, okay, good to know. I was like, cause I haven't been getting participation checks. I just wondered, but, I was like a partial owner, but what's crazy about it, the great part was I got 50% off all food and booze. And I threw parties. We threw a birthday party there. I had birthday parties there. Every time I directed it,
she just wanted the discount, for all of her friends to be able to party there.
And free parking on Sunset. Free parking on Sunset, which is like $30 a night. Like,
also, one of my favorite memories is when Melissa and I went to live in New York for a period, and it was so much fun. We had the most fun in New York.
We were such brats. Like, we went to karaoke and ate caviar for dinner almost every night. Like, who does that?
Well, I don't know who was paying for the caviar, because I definitely wasn't.
We might have found some boys to pay for it. I'm not sure. I'll go check my credit card.
You probably found some people.
It was the heyday of television. I mean, at the point I was like, caviar. It's just me. Like, I bought a house and then like, what else? Like, I had a car. I didn't need anything else. I'm like, caviar for dinner. Went through a caviar phase for sure.
There you go. 25-year-old Amanda didn't know what caviar was.
I wish I had had an appreciation like I do now for it. My God.
Well, we just had caviar soleil like not too long ago in New York City at the Plaza. Didn't we just have like a whole like tea? You went ahead that you bought that round. You were like champagne and caviar, and me and your daughter and my sister, and we're like eating caviar and tea sandwiches, and like you and me
that
and
sounds
Trisha,
like down dream and personally.
It was. We were having some fun in New York. We always have fun in New York. We just need to, like, you know, my like whole plan about like when I'm an old lady, I'm going to live in New York City and I'm going to smoke my Parliament lights. I'm going to have a small dog. I know Amanda doesn't like it when I say I'm going to smoke, but I'm so going to smoke. I'm going to, after 70, I'm going to go back to smoking, fur coat, small dog, you know, doorman that carries up my D'Agostinos for me up to my apartment and just go to the theater.
Fabulous.
Right? I'm going to go to the theater and the Met and the like ballet.
I support all of this except for the smoking part.
You're all coming with me. I'll just step outside for my cigarettes on my strolls through Central Park. Don't worry about it.
I want to go on the stroll, but I don't want like your
second. Okay, you can go. You just stand on the left side. I smoke on the right. I'm good. Wait, let's go back to.
I love it.
I wanted to go back to Punky. Tell us. Okay. So just because we want to get to like what you binge, what you like, but tell us like your favorite episode of Punky. Like tell us like your favorite like memory or favorite episode.
Oh, I have so many favorite memories from Punky, really. Oh, it was like playing make-believe every day. And so many of my memories are around the amazing people and being part of this incredible family and Punky being such a part of me and the Punky power within me and the way in which I got to meet people that connected to Punky, you know? So many of my memories are that joy, you know? And then of course, episodes that I love. I mean, there are just the episodes that of course like stand out so much to me from the episode around the Challenger. I had always wanted to be an astronaut. And that was such an intense experience. And the fact that we were able to do an episode around it, Cherry getting stuck in the refrigerator, of course, and then I have favorite episodes, the first episodes, and of course, I mean, Andy Gibb, who was just, you know, one of the first true loves of my life, and
you've had a lot.
He really got in there. You know, one of the things about Andy was just his love and how giving and loving he was. And you watch, I love when he sings to me and he did two episodes actually. But when he sings to me, like you can see, I love that you can actually see me falling in love as a little girl, like on camera, that like piece of film actually exists. What it also taught me though is, you know, how the kindness of people, the kindness of people, how it touches our lives and how it sticks with us forever. You know, I look back at those moments with him and with George Gaines and, you know, the people that were a part of that show. And it's just that incredible kindness that was shown to me has stuck with me forever, you know? So many of my favorite episodes are tied to these moments with these amazing figures, you know, Marvin Hagler coming on. I was thinking the other day about like DeBarge coming on. I mean, just, you know, we had such amazing, amazing people that were a part of it that really left their imprint on my heart, you know?
Yeah. That's amazing.
And you're still, Willis was right. And that yeah, show just
say no episode. I mean, come on. I mean, there's so many classics. I know that a big one for people that has haunted them for their entire lives is the cave where we're stuck in a cave, you know. I mean, there's just so many wild.
Oh gosh. Yes.
My partner came and did an episode. I mean, just yeah, it was
and everyone was wearing two different shoes, right? Wasn't it like
oh my goodness.
Including yes. your daughters.
Oh, the episode where I turned into like an 88-year-old woman. You know, what was so interesting about the show is that the creators would see what was going on in life and then they would really create episodes around it. So one of my fears as a little girl was like growing old alone, you know, and then they did an entire episode about like facing your fear, you know. And so it's just very interesting how they would see what was going on in our lives and then build these really powerful episodes around it.
Mm. And you guys did a reboot on Peacock,
which
a year or two years ago.
Thank you.
It was great.
Oh, so much really fun. Good. Oh, I'm so proud.
Freddie Prinze Jr. Freddie Prinze was your ex, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Lauren Donzas, we shared a daughter. Your daughter on Punky Reboot was my daughter in No Good Nick on Netflix. So that's crazy. Yes, she's such a great actress.
Fantastic cast, fantastic team. Like it just was such a special moment in time. And it was so incredible because we were shooting it. And I also was going through so much personally in my life with my family, you know, changing so much. And at the same time was working on my documentary. And it was like Punky came back to me in that moment that I needed her most, you know, as again, that like superpower. And I literally feel like that is so much of how I got through the last years of my life was that Punky power within me was like back in such a strong way. And it was just interesting, you know, art imitating life imitating art, you know?
Yeah. Let's now stop at Sabrina again. What was your favorite like memory and, or episode of that?
Oh, every memory with you, Melly.
Melly. Oh.
There were so many fun episodes. I really, every time I think about it, it's funny. I think about it there's so many fun moments. I loved our scenes when we got to be like in the room together and like, it was fun because I played like a more edgy character and, you know, our dynamic, those moments like always stand out so like full of like just wonderful fun. And I loved our clothes. Like, it was so fun to be able to dress up
in great clothes. You know, I feel like yours were more fun than mine.
Outfits one day.
And oh, we were the cheerleaders.
One of us having like, I feel like one of us had like shells as a bikini top or something like wild, like, you know, and just to be like,
what was the episode we did at the beach? Beach blanket bingo or whatever. Yes, and we were in like those 50s, like we had gone back in time. We're in like the 50s. Like,
with Aaron Carter. That was definitely one of my favorite episodes for sure.
That was a great one. We had so much fun. We giggled so hard. There's a scene where these girls are doing our hair. You, me, and Elisa are sitting on the bed,
yeah.
And these girls are doing our hair. And the lines were so silly that there's an outtake somewhere that I'll have to find someday. I'll find it and post it. But like, the outtake is like, we made it very naughty. Remember? We like said all these awful, naughty things. We did the version, but we couldn't stop laughing. I think the director was like, can we get this done? And we were like, can we just do the version we want to do? And like, we said like really naughty things. And then we got that out of our system. And then we went on. Yeah, I know. I made it. Yeah, I went over the line.
The beach bingo is definitely, I think, one of the highlight episodes.
It was just really cold. We always shot these scenes in Malibu in January, where you couldn't.
It was so cool. It's a beach location. It was so fun.
The brain says that's season 5, episode 17. If anybody's looking for it, it's Beach Blanket Bizarro.
Bizarro. That's right. Because Beach Blanket Bingo would be the real. Yeah, because I think like my magic somehow takes us back in time, and we're like stuck in the 50s and. Yeah. Oh my God. I want to go back and watch that one.
Melissa, I mean, what's happening? When is the Sabrina continuation happening?
I keep asking. I mean, it's the question I get the most. And it's like, we can't, like the answer is red tape. Like, who owns it? Right. And do they want to, you know, it's not going to happen, but it's too bad because it would be fun, but I'm okay. It's all right. So Amanda, you know, like resolutions have come and gone at this point, and a lot of them have dwindled down. Well, one of mine was to do less takeout and to cook at home more. But of course, you know, I haven't really been that consistent.
Yeah, me neither. I was right there with you, and not now.
Yeah, I mean, who has the time or the patience to meal prep and grocery shop? So I was very excited to learn about Home Chef.
Yes, I am so excited about Home Chef because they're different from all the other meal kit brands. Yes, Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep, and it simplifies the whole cooking process.
Yeah, so whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions or speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, I do like those, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you and the entire family covered for delicious meals without the hassle.
Yeah, and Home Chef has over 30 options every week, so it makes it really easy to serve a variety of different dietary needs, and you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. It's just there.
Yeah, it's convenient. It's economical, too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries.
That's
$86,
really,
by the way. $86 a month on groceries.
That's a lot of money.
For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. You heard me right. Free dessert for life as long as you're an active subscriber. So all you have to do is go to homechef.com/WWB.
That's homechef.com/WWB for 18 free meals and free dessert for
free dessert life. People. Homechef.com/WWB. Get your desserts. Wait, I want to talk about Kid 90 though. So then.
Yes, we need to.
So on Hulu, you had this amazing, it was a documentary, right? I mean, it's,
yes.
And it's like, so you used to videotape everything, like all growing up, you always had a video camera with you or around you, right? And you were like in New York City with the kind of like skate boys and like all these videos, like with huge celebrities, Hollywood things going on, and you videotaped everything. And you recently, a few years ago, went through, I mean, I know this has been a passion project for you for the longest time, and just digging through these tapes and trying to figure out what this show could be. And I know you had like 3 different iterations of what it could be, but tell us about what it ended up being that people can see.
Oh, thank you. So I grew up my entire life loving to document everything. From the time I was 5 years old, I had diaries. 12 years old, I had audio recording, you know, thing. And then my video camera, and I just felt like we were in such a colorful world and I wanted to drink it all in. And so I documented my friends growing up, all of us growing up together, and then locked it away in Tupperware. It was literally in Tupperware for years upon years. I was so protective over friends. And also, we had gone through so much and lost some of the people closest to us during those years. And so I think anytime I thought about going back, just it was so painful to even, you know, kind of revisit. So then after many, many years, you know, I also remembered that there was so much joy. And I was like, wait, there was so much joy in this moment in time in which I was really, I realized on a subconscious level, like I was also going through this process of like, you know, I have this incredible family, these beautiful children, like who am I in addition to them? You know, I think we all go through these different stages in life and our evolution, you know, at different times where, you know, it's that search of oneself. And so really it served as like this blueprint into who I once was and who I really am at my core. And so it was quite a healing process. It started though, where I thought we were making a documentary about the last decade, you know, pre internet explosion. So it was supposed to be like the death of privacy. It ended up essentially being like the end of my privacy in that way, you know, but yeah, it went through so many iterations. It was so many different versions until really through that process of peeling back the onion, it became incredibly personal. And my dream was that people would connect to it and in a way be able to connect to their own teen self and their own
and that time memories. Period, right?
And I mean, yeah, and time period and just for it to be nostalgic. And I'm so grateful that people responded to it so beautifully. And the support that we've had on Kid 90 has just been amazing, and people and really made it.
Are you talking about maybe a sequel?
We're talking about it. We're talking about it.
I'm sure there is still treasure
troves of footage for days.
Yeah, I know. Well, and you had me on tape recording something for it, but the whole project shifted.
Well, it totally, literally, we went through so many iterations. I mean, there was the version that we first did where it was, again, it was like, you know, what it was like to live, you know, before the internet, you know, and it was like a totally different documentary. Then it became
it took her years to edit. I remember you being like, years. Are you going to put it out there? Are you going to put it out there?
It was
like,
so I don't know. We did a full found footage one where there was no interviews. It was all found footage. Then it went through, I mean, it just really was such a process of discovery. But it's like, there's this saying that I love so much. And it says, you know, if you make the documentary that you set out to make, you weren't really listening. And so I think, you know, that's part of the incredible journey of making documentaries is how they evolve.
Well, and you have some people behind the scenes that you're friends with that like really helped out with that know documentaries and helped out a little, right? Like people you leaned into. We won't name any names if you don't want.
Yeah, we can name names. I mean, just incredible, incredible support system.
I mean, the people that supported you were like Leonardo DiCaprio, Sean Penn, right? Didn't they like all take a look and like kind of.
Incredible, incredible support system. Incredible helped, support system.
Yeah.
Appy in a way came on to it. Sean, I mean, literally just so much support and love. And then the incredible musicians, you know, Linda Perry with her brilliant score, Eddie Vedder, you know, and Jill giving their music, Trent Reznor. I mean, just,
Trent, excuse me. What?
You know,
Nine Inch Nails is like.
He let me use one of his songs because the song was in the footage.
Do you have his number? Do I need to call him?
I did write him a letter. I wrote him a letter about how important his song was to the doc. And
can I write him a letter? I think I did when I was 12. Can I write him a letter?
The song was actually in the footage in the background. And it was just the amount of love and support and goodwill around this documentary. Like, it makes me really emotional. It just,
it's beautiful. And I hope everybody sees it. But I want to go back to the Trent Reznor thing. Hold on.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, fly on the wall.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Soleil, do you remember that in my, what Mark called my my Smurfette mobile, my long blue baby blue jack? Like, I always had a 9-inch nails hanging from my mirror.
Yes, 9-inch nails.
I always had the NIN like air freshener that had been in my car for 10 years. Like,
yes.
Whenever my roommate Angelo would drive my car, he'd take it down. He was embarrassed. He's like, I'm not putting that up. And I'm like, excuse me, you drive my car, you have to represent 9-inch nails. I'm sorry. So anyway, I didn't realize that Trent, like, okay, I'm going to go back and watch it again now.
Well, what I'm saying, now Trent's going to be like, wait, what happened? No, but
I know.
The musicians who supported me using the music in this piece.
They let you use their music in the piece.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's amazing. I mean, you had a ton of support. I mean, you put it together so beautifully, and I really feel like you could get 3 more movies out of this. So, I hope you do.
I mean, there is the endless treasure trove of archival, and also just, I think when you're doing what you love, like, I love making documentaries so much, and I love making scripted also, and there's just something about being able to share stories that is so beautiful and part of the human condition that I really love and am drawn to. And so that feeling of purpose is really exciting, and I'm so grateful for it.
Well, and I'm going to ask you some of these questions we ask everybody, but to talk about like what you binge, but.
Well, I haven't
binged anything for so long. That's all right.
That's okay.
Wait, tell us real quick. Where can people find Sunny Boy? I want people to watch Sunny Boy.
Sunny Boy. I am ready to take it. I haven't taken it out yet. I tend to sell things sometimes for decades. I did wait, and now I think the time is right to share it with the world.
Tell Amanda what Sunny Boy is about real quick. Like, give us the log line.
My dad and I drove. So my dad, as he was in the earlier stages of Alzheimer's, we went cross country to retrace his history. And
which is a rich history. I mean, he was part of like the March over Selma
rights movement, and incredible civil rights activist and boxer, and had worked with Dennis Hopper on Easy Rider. And so really it was this incredible journey across the country in this time that I was able to share with him. And so, yeah, it was a really incredible experience. And then I think just the pain around, you know, having a parent that was struggling with this. It was something where I kind of, you know, said, okay, let me take a moment, and then a moment turned a year, and now it's like, okay, it's time. It's been a few decades.
You finished that movie when? A decade? Yeah. It's time to put it out there so people can see it.
No, Sean says that too. He's like, so it's time.
Let's go. Get it out there.
Sounds like a real journey though. I can't wait to see it.
And then when I come back, I have to talk about the next documentary, which is
is there a new one?
Yeah. We'll have to talk about it on the next
ever saving it.
On the next podcast we do. It's
next episode.
Really special. Really.
We're not waiting this long again, though. I mean, literally since the moment we started this podcast, Melissa's been saying, we're gonna have Soleil on. We're gonna do it.
We were waiting till we could be together, and it never really happened. So we were like, forget it, we'll just do it on Zoom.
I'm really so excited about the latest one. And
wait, can you tell us the name or anything? No,
it's a story of love, and it starts as a music documentary and turns into a love story, and it's heart-wrenching and beautiful and moving and inspiring. And I just hope that people connect to it in the way that I do.
I can't wait.
I know that's fun. All right, we've got questions for you. Well, first of all, what are you binging? What do you like? What are you, movies, TV? Are you watching the Oscar movies? What are you?
Oh my goodness. Nothing, guys.
Reading, podcasting.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I've been in the edit on this doc. We've been in the edit the last month. So you know, Melissa, that when you're in the edit stage, it's like living and breathing and drinking it up and every minute, every moment. Now, with that said, so that has like been like a huge, you know, huge part of my life. And, you know, I love documentaries. And so when I'm binging, I'm usually, you know, binging docs. With that said, I love to meditate. So a lot of my time is like spent, you know, taking in, I love books on physics and spirituality and love and enlightenment. And I would say if there's something that I would say my equivalent of binging is that sometimes I like going through like, this is a totally different kind of binge, but I think it's funny because I don't think it's talked about a lot, which is like on Instagram, like I'm so into manifesting, right? So I go into those things and it's like, you don't know if it's like human or an AI, but they give you like readings and stuff. Or do you know what I'm talking about? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Okay. So like the thing that's like, there's someone special who's thinking about you, you know? And then do you know what I'm talking about on Instagram? Like the for you thing. I mean, maybe
you're like, whatever.
It'll have like tarot readers or, you know, like psychic, you know, psychic messages, whatever. So I love to binge the messages on there, like the enlightenment.
Oh my gosh.
So that would be like, if I binge on anything, I would say, you know, and I don't spend a lot of time on social media these days, but if I go on, it's like, I find myself get sucked into this rabbit hole. I'm like, how do you know? How do you know? So that is, not that I binge it, but it is something.
Well, you're also binging colleges because Poet's going off to college. You're also, both of our kids are like 16 this week. So like, we have to plan 16 birthdays.
We just did, we just did the college tour. That's been amazing. Just got back.
I mean, our kids are exactly, our first two are exactly the same age. And then I have 11 and then Story and Lyric are how old?
Story and Lyric are 10 and 7, almost 8.
A little bit crazy. Younger than Tucker, but yeah.
So that's my kid age. I have an 11 and 2 8-year-olds. So
what are they binging? What do they watch? Do you have to watch stuff with them? Like,
so, oh, my kids? Oh, well, they just, so it's great. You know, they're really into the classics. So like recently I know, like they were watching Felicity, you know, like the old school shows, Dawson's, you know, and then we're, by the way, we're constantly binging like 80s movies. So to be totally honest, like the other, like we do movie nights. So, like Jerry Maguire, we watched recently, Fast Times, you know what I mean? Like we definitely have our, you know, movie night rituals, 16 Candles. So we definitely, that would be like our equivalent of binging is like family time together, movie nights, you know, doing that.
Yeah. That's Brady just made me go on winter break. He went on like a Batman kick. He watched every Batman movie.
Right.
I only watched the Michael Keaton one, but I like kind of popped in for some of the others, but I just think it's weird that someone else is Batman besides Michael Keaton. I mean, even though there's been like Val Kilmer and
there's been like 20, you gotta,
there's so many.
The kids binge a lot. Like the other day I walked into one of my kids' rooms and I was like, what are you watching? They're like, oh, The Bachelor, you know, or another, you know,
Love
another
Island. One. Another Mason one. Watches with our babysitter Love Island.
my other daughter, like The Crown, like is like she's been, you know what I mean? So the kids all have their, you know, story. It's like, you know, amazing YouTube videos, you know. Lyric.
Are you having a sweet 16? Is Jagger having a sweet 16?
Wants to have a sweet 16. It's we're having the discussion, you know. It's up for discussion for sure. It's like
Amanda
by the way,
just threw one if you need some tips. Amanda threw a sweet 16 last night.
It's a week and a half from now. And anyway. But
you can pull, if anyone can pull it together,
Lyric loves Chaplin, and you know, he watches, you know, these incredible old films. So anyway. I died.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right, wait, I'm going to ask you the questions now. Ready? These are our season 10. I guess we're still in season 10, right? Mm-hmm. I hope so. Here's our question. So is there a movie you feel you should have watched, but you haven't yet?
Oh, that's such a great question.
Like, have you ever seen like Citizen
Kane? I've got to think. Pardon?
Lawrence of Arabia, Citizen Kane, like something like classic that maybe I've met a lot of people recently who have never seen.
It's a Wonderful Life. I've seen It's a Wonderful Life, but does that?
I'm like, how do you not see that movie? It doesn't even make sense to me.
Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody, I've heard like three people recently tell me they've never seen that movie. And
it's so funny because the movie that comes to my mind is a movie that I love, which is Casablanca. You know, it's
like, I love Casablanca.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's your classic. That's right. We'll skip it. Is there a TV villain that you love to hate?
Oh boy. Did I love, see, you're going to, I got to think on that one too. I've got to think on these. A
TV binger.
It would require watching TV and she is not there right now.
It's like it requires.
This one's good. You'll get this one. Favorite book genre. Although you may have already told us.
Oh, there's so many that I love. You know, I love Kerouac. I love the whole Beat Generation. I love Anais Nin, Henry Miller. I love erotica. I love spiritual, you know, books. I love Ram Dass. I The Prophet is one of my favorite books of all time. So it crosses
over. Amanda is really into werewolf. What is it again? She's back into this. She was into this like a year ago. She's back into
their werewolf novels.
Yeah, no, I've heard. Is this like my girlfriend's obsessed with the dragon ones? Also,
those are great.
You know about these dragon ones?
They're yes.
Is that the House of Something and Thorns or something?
Yeah,
Roses and Thorns and
yes.
I feel like I would really like those.
You can get them. Excuse me.
Look at she got choked up.
Everywhere now. No, the werewolves, they get me every time.
The movie I'm working on right now, somebody's reading one of those books. I saw it laying around. I was like, I need to. And I went to the airport and on my way here and like, there was a whole row of like, I was like, I'm going to need to read these.
Yeah, they're phenomenal. You will not regret it.
Great stories, maybe we do that. Fast reads.
Yes, let's do that together. And by the way, I thought about someone, a character that you love to not like, right?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. James Spader. See, I'm so obsessed with 80s movies. James Spader, Pretty in Pink.
Yes. Ooh,
right.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a great villain.
Good choice. That's true.
You kind of do like it a little.
Right. He's like, yeah, but you're just that's like, fun. But he's so.
I don't like him, but ooh. Yeah.
Right. I think that was the one.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
I mean, we could talk about some. Big Little Lies has some of those folks too. Okay, sorry. Okay,
I keep that's true. Go-to karaoke song, Soleil. I can't remember. Right. I want to be able to go-to karaoke song. I want to be able to come up with it myself for you.
But well, for sure, Human League. It would probably be. Don't you want?
Oh,
me?
That's a good one.
Yes,
for sure.
That's why so have you? I never heard that one?
Human League, like you need to do some Born on Blondes, though.
Oh, why not? By the way, it was so funny. I texted Linda when we were on the road. Everywhere we went on the college road trip, for the most part, like we would be at, like we went to the Kings game and be like, you know, you'd start hearing this, you know, like Born on Blondes was on. Then we go to like upstate New York. I was like, wow, Linda, you are like
everywhere.
I guess. All right, what is a reboot? Like, reboot that you liked better than the original?
Oh, come on.
You can't say Punky Brewster.
Nope. Oh. Yeah, Punky doesn't count.
As much as the original. How about that? Punky as much.
Okay.
As much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there a reboot that you like better, like a Batman movie or the new Sabrina or the new Wonder Year? Wait, what? Yeah, or
I'm kind of a classics girl, you guys.
Yeah, I know. Ghostbusters.
You know, I'm pretty.
Know. Right, hold on. Reboots are hard. First concert.
You guys are like, what? First concert? Oh, that's a great one. AC/DC.
Oh, what?
It was like first 4 years ever? Old. I was like four years old, and my mom took me to an AC/DC concert. And oh my gosh, you guys. Okay. So AC/DC concert, and it was so wild because there was this thing called the US Festival, which was crazy, you guys. I mean, literally, you may have to pull up the lineup on this show to show like the kind of people that were there. It was so bananas, you guys. It was like in the middle. It was so funny because I was actually having a conversation. I love Perry Farrell and Etty, and they're dear friends. And he, like, we've talked about how, like, so many of, like, the festivals were born out of this US festival. You guys, it was like rock and roll and heavy metal and, like, crazy bands. Okay. But there was thousands upon thousands of people. And you guys, you had to, like, trudge through mud, and people were going to the bathroom everywhere. It was the craziest, like, it was.
Have you not gone to Burning Man? Have you gone to Burning Man?
This is like, you're describing Bonnaroo.
This was like the motorcycle era of Burning Man. Okay. And literally, I'm telling you, I'm like 4 years old, like trudging through the mud, you know, like, just like, it was so insane. Literally. It was like 19, I don't even know, the early 80s. We got to look it up. It was anyone that experienced the US Festival will, if you know, you know.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to go look that up. We'll go look that up. All right. I have one more thing.
There was insane.
Do you have your phone near you?
Yes.
Okay. So tell me that little red dot next to emails. What does that little red dot say?
27,720.
Yeah, you guys are on the same team. You too.
She's Team Amanda.
I'm at 28, you guys. I'm at 28, and I'm so proud. I'm holding on.
Okay.
Wait, 28,000 or 28?
28. She's at just 28.
28
unread emails.
27,000 is a lot, right?
It's a lot. And she's got, what do you have, Amanda?
39,216.
It's insane. You guys are insane. We had someone on recently that was like 80,000. I'm like, I don't
understand.
You have
a type, Melissa. Look at us.
Yeah. Your hot mess.
That's so crazy. What is? But that kind of gives. That's kind of stressful.
Exactly.
But don't you have a system? You probably don't miss very many emails, do you?
I probably do.
you guys.
This is what I'll do. Also, which is really, like, if I'm like, oh, I didn't. This. I don't know if this ever happens to you, and maybe it's way oversharing. But I'll be like, oh, I didn't hear from so-and-so, and then I'll be like, oh, let me just look at what I sent, and then there'll be an email from them that I never saw. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, so much time has passed, you know what I mean? Like, I'll do that with text messages too. Like, say I texted somebody,
yeah,
and I'm like, oh, I haven't heard back, and then, like, I go to, like, just look at what I sent and be like, are you good? And I'm like, oh my god, they fully wrote to me, but now, like, it's been like weeks, and now, like,
we're gonna have a sidebar on this conversation, and I'm gonna help you. Okay, I'm gonna help you, or hire one of your kids.
Change you is what she's gonna do. Just
give, like, your kid like $100 to go through your inbox and only save the, you know, delete anything that's from any online shopping, blah 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 blah, junk mail crap. Well, Soleil, thank you so much for being here.
Oh my god, I love you so.
When you have your documentary out, you have to come back.
Yes. And I'm going to think, you know, I'm going to think on all the things that I binge, and I will have watched some TV again by the time I
have to watch it for us. It's fine.
No,
you told us you binge.
We do binge. We binge 80s movies. We binge.
Yeah, we're interested in what you're binging. So if it's meditations or whatever it is, that's great.
We had a wrestler on here who was like, I'm a shoe junkie. Like, I'm obsessed with shoes. Like, and that was enough, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Well,
yes. I love you. Thank you.
I love you.
Happy Sweet 16 to Jagger.
I'll talk to you, honey. I love you.
I love you.
Bye, you guys.
Womanette. What? Womanette binge.